I want to tell you this morning, I'm excited to be able to bring to you a message entitled Love's Way. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Right now, even without it, I'm going to preach. We're not going to allow the devil to mess it up, even though he's going to try, because that's what the devil does. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 this morning. I want to share something with you. This is a truth that maybe not a lot of people know. This is one of the misquoted, misused chapters in all of the Word of God. And I want to try and paint a picture of what this chapter is really talking about as we look at the Word of God. We've got to keep it in context. Always when you're looking at certain scripture, when you're trying to figure out what God is saying and you can't understand what He's saying through the text that you're looking at, you always need to go back and see what He was talking about in the previous chapter. And then you even need to move on ahead and see what He's talking about in the chapter that comes after. And it's always about context. You've got to understand that. And with Corinthians, it's been used a lot of different ways. People have used it as a beautiful poem about love, and that really characterizes the marriage. And while it's beautiful scripture and it can be used a lot of different ways with a lot of different application, the true context has to do with the church being unified. And with that unity, understanding that God gives certain gifts, He gives different gifts to you as believers. And ultimately, Paul begins to wrap it up for the church by saying right here in chapter 13, the greatest gift of all gifts, the greatest one of these gifts is love. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, I want to try and identify some true purposes of love for you so that you'll be able to take hold of these truths, so that you'll be able to take them home with you and apply them to your everyday life. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. This is Paul as he's wrapping this chapter up and moves into chapter 13. He says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. That's what he's saying. He said, do all of us have the exact same gifts? Ultimately, the answer to that is no. But this is what he says. The desire of the church, the desire that you should have as a man, woman, or child who loves King Jesus, is to have the greatest gifts. Begins to break it down even further, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so Paul is just about, I can't stand still, so if you want to turn this off and just let me preach, that'll be fine, because I'm going to be all over the place this morning. Are you guys, can you hear me over here? If I'm moving around, can you hear me? All right, well, I'm going to preach without a mic this morning. I'll turn this one back on. I'll turn this one back on, and if it'll stay on, great. And if it won't, then we're just going to go without it. But we're having some interest, and it's off again already. So just forget that. And I'm just going to preach loud today. We're just going to go old time, okay? Amen. So let's just get an amen to that. So as we look at the scripture this morning, Paul's trying to paint this picture of what the church is really supposed to look like. And then he does that by saying at the end of this verse, he says, I want to show you a more excellent way. And then he begins to break down what the best way is. And as I shared with you already, it's love's way. And there are six things that I want to share with you this morning concerning the Word of God. If you have your bulletins, you can turn over on the back of those. You can follow along. There's an outline there. If you have a pen, what you can do is you can take that and you can fill in the blanks. Each one of those points has two words that are left out. And that's just to keep you accountable. You follow along with the Scripture as it's preached this morning, and you fill those in as we go. But I want to ask you this morning if you'll honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and of understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, we humble ourselves in your presence, acknowledging you for who you are. Father, today, what our prayer is that you would have your way with our hearts in advance. Lord, even as the devil tries to take the technology that we have and he tries to make it mess up, Lord, I just pray that you would bind Satan far from us today and that you would keep us from the evil one. Blessed Father, that you and you alone would have your way in this service today. And Lord, we just praise you in advance for what you're going to do. And we give you right now all praise, honor, and glory. Asking it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is this one working? All right. So you've already found 1 Corinthians. You've turned there with me this morning. We understand already that this is the love chapter. When we explain what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, we always share that this is the love chapter. But I need to kind of share with you, in Greek, we mess things up in English a whole lot of times. Can I get an amen? We just really do. We've got a lot of different words, a lot of different synonyms, and they're very confusing sometimes. And God doesn't make that mistake with the Greek language nearly as much as there's confusion with the English language. We've got one word that we really use as love in the English language, and we use it for all kind of different things. And we use it, sometimes it means things that it really doesn't mean. And I share with you before, when I was growing up, I would see something going by, and it would be a motorcycle, and I'm a motorcycle guy. I love them. And I'd see an old chopper go by, and I'd say, "Man, I love that thing. Did you see that motorcycle? I love it." And my stepfather, in his wisdom, would say, "Son, you can't love something that can't love you." And so I get that. I understand that. And as we look at the Word of God this morning, we're going to understand the true concept of this love. There's one word that we use now, I guess we can use affection, we can use friendship, also kind of as a derivative of the word love, but really they mean different things. But when we look at the scripture in the Greek, there are four different words that are used for love, and I want to share just quickly what these four words are. The first one is storge. This word never appears in the Bible. This is the one word, it's a Greek word that's used for love. But this is one that's never appears in the Bible. But this is like having a love for your country, kind of a patriotic kind of a love. That's what this word for storge really means. Then eros is another love, and that's a kind of a romantic kind of a love that you would have with your spouse, that you would even have with your children. You're so devoted to them in such a way that you give your all for them. That's this kind of eros love, this romantic kind of a love, and we use that. Matter of fact, let me share this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul uses this word as he's talking about how the world is crucified unto him and how he's crucified unto the world for your honor and for your glory. And so that's really how this word carries that kind of a meaning. God has that. It's a very intimate kind of love. That's one of the kinds of love that God has for us. You see that through the scripture. But then there's this word phileo, and I think, Brad, you used this Wednesday night. He talked about it's a brotherly love. That's what this phileo is. It's a brotherly love that you have one for another. You've got Brad McDaniel, you and I have we've got a brotherly love. Kindred spirits. Brad Graves, you and I, Keith, all you guys, there's a lot of us in here. We have that kind of love for one another. But then there's this kind of love that is spoken of by Jesus more than any other, which is a wonderful thing, and it's agape. It's this word for that's agape love, and it's unconditional love, unselfish, unmotivated by selfish desires. This agape love always, always, always thinks about other people first. That's the kind of love God has for you, and that's the kind of love, as we look at the scripture this morning, God desires for you to have from one person to another. It's an unconditional, unselfishly motivated kind of love. And we see that, and we begin to understand that and the excellence of this word that God allowed Paul to use. He saw the big picture. And so this morning, as we talk about love's way, understand that love has a very particular kind of way. Love is something that is a phenomenal thing, especially in the church. Amen. And then when you and I get the full meaning of what love really looks like, and we become the church unified as God desires that we be, then we take this and we put it into action wherever we are. And that's what I need you to get this morning. Even before we go a step further, I need you to see the big picture of what this kind of love looks like as we contrasted it already with what those other loves were. And so there are six things this morning that I want to submit to you. As we look at the scripture, we break it down. And the first thing is this: without love, ecstatic worship is noise. That's all it is. Without love, ecstatic worship is noise. Look at verse 1. He says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You can do all of these things in the context of a worship service on a regular basis. But if love is not the most important part of your worship service, is what he's saying, then you've come for the wrong reason. We're just going to call it what it is. And so many of us, every week, we gather ourselves together. And let me even take you back to some of the things that were going on in Corinth as Paul wrote this letter to the churches, to the Corinthians. He understood and he knew that Corinth was kind of a melting pot of religions, so to speak. A lot of different values, a lot of different gods were worshipped. Understanding big picture is all of these gods were dead. None of those gods were able to heal the blind, make them see, able to make the lame walk. None of those gods were able to do any of those things. And Paul was really trying to help them understand, big picture is there's only one God, and there should only be one heart of true worship. And so what he's saying is this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, then I become just loud noise. We don't want to do that as the church. Amen. We don't want to bring that into the church. We don't want to come in and have a hallelujah kind of moment if our heart's not in it with God, do we? We don't want to come in and we don't want to be singing praises to God if we're not singing from the very bottom of our heart. When we come in to worship God, we need to do it with our hearts open wide so that God understands that we realize that our worship is not about us as individuals, but collectively it's about us gathering ourselves together to worship, truly worship the one true God. That's what his desire is. He wants us to look at the scripture, and he wants us to understand that God doesn't want us just to speak loudly, that God doesn't want us to speak in all of these different kind of tongues of men or of angels. This is actually the only place in all of scripture that it says that the tongues of angels, as though it were a different language than what you and I speak. And so really, there's nothing, no reference for us to go by that angels speak a different language. As a matter of fact, right, the opposite is true. Anytime an angel appeared to man, he always was able to speak to them so that they were able to understand exactly what was being said. And so you see that. I think ultimately the big picture is this. We got to understand that in biblical times there was just a lot of pagan religions, a lot of worship of gods that were dead. And two specifically, I just quickly want to make mention of these. Bacchus was one of these. B-A-C-C-H-U-S. And then Dionysus was the other. D-I-O-N-Y-S-U-S. Both of these were really the god of pleasure and wine, or wine and pleasure. And in the church, in these foreign, these false religious ceremonies, they would come in and they would worship these gods. And literally in these, no joke, in these religious ceremonies, they would get the symbols out and they would just make all kind of noise with the symbols to these false foreign gods. And they would just tromp around in the service making all of this racket. The problem is, Paul said, it was not beneficial for the church. If it's not beneficial, he says, then why are we doing it? I wonder that same thing today. Amen? Sometimes when we get excited and God does show up, really, sometimes it's just an emotional experience that we have. And what I desire is that we have a spiritual experience with God. When we come in, when we say amen, it's not just from our lips, not just from our mouths, that it's from our hearts. That's what God's desire is. And so we look at the scripture this morning. This is what our Lord tells us in the scripture. He says, you can make all the noise that you want to in worship. You can speak in all kinds of unknown languages, but if you don't have love, you're just making noise. Friends, let us not gather just to make noise. Amen. Let's gather to worship the one true God without love, friends. This is why he said it's the greatest way. Without love, ecstatic worship, excited worship is just noise. I want you to get that this morning. Isaiah 29 verse 13, this is what the Lord said. He said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. And the worship of me is taught by the commandment of men. And so we begin to see the big picture, is it, that we come and we say, amen, hallelujah, preach on, preacher. If it's not with the heart to honor God. And I'm going to tell you, saying amen, hallelujah, and preach on, preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog. So it's exciting, but if you can't do it with a heart that's fully devoted to God, then truly, you're just making noise. And that's what the scripture says, and that's why we need to be able to see that big picture this morning. If you can't come in with a heart of worship on Sunday and maintain that same heart of worship on Monday, then it's just racket. And ultimately, what we need to understand is when we leave here on Sunday, that we continue to maintain that heart of worship. Why? Friends, because I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God who created this day in all of its glory. Have you seen the beauty of this day? Did you see the blue sky as it reflected all the wonderful colors that God had intended it to reflect? You see even the puffy clouds as they are moving by the wind from one place to another. God created this day. His word tells us in Psalms 118. He says, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So what does that look like for you? For you. You're here today. Are you here just to make noise? We sang, and I'm going to tell you, our worship was great, great this morning, but was your heart in it? Even now, as God's word goes forth, he tells us in his word that it'll not return void. But my question to you is, your heart in the word that you're hearing? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I've just become noisy. Let's don't be noisy. Let's be in love with our Creator. Amen? That's the goal. And the second thing, we continue to move on this morning. Without love, strong preaching is empty. Amen? Amen. Without love, strong preaching is empty. I want you to look at the scripture. He says this in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And so secondly, we see through the scripture that without love, strong preaching is just empty. It doesn't mean anything. If I'm standing up here before you and I'm preaching the word and I'm just taking it somewhere, I'm hammering it, and it's going out and you're receiving it in your head, but if I'm not up here doing it with love in my heart for you, then I'm wasting my time.
I've got to have a love for you. Your pastor has to have a love for you, even as Sunday school teachers. Listen to me. We can teach for 70 years, but if we don't have love in our hearts, then all we're doing is making racket. Love has to be the most important thing. That's what the Scripture tells us this morning. We see this. We begin to understand it, kind of like a lion that's an iron statue, and out of his mouth is spewing water. And it's clean water, it's pure water, and it tastes great if you go over there and get you a sip of it, but that lion doesn't taste a bit of it. What's the use of me standing up here and preaching the Word of God if I don't taste what I'm preaching? If I haven't experienced it for myself, exactly what it is, the message that God desires for me to relay to you. There has to be love in my heart. There has to be love in your heart when you find yourself standing before someone, sharing with them the words of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It's really about an action that we'll get to a little bit later on in our service. I want to share with you quickly two different preachers in the Word of God that have this. Their testimony is exactly what I've shared with you this morning. Both of them's names start with J. One of them's name is Jonah, and he had almost a hatred in his heart. Can I say that word in church? He had a hatred in his heart for the Ninevites. He didn't want to be obedient. God had called him and told him to go and preach to the Ninevites, that they would repent, that they would turn from their wicked ways. They were dogs in Jonah's eye. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And Jonah did not want to go because in his eyes, they were just dogs. They were worthless. And so he ran from God, and he ran from God because his heart was not into it. He did not want to go and share God's word with those people. You know why? Because he said, this is what I knew would happen. I knew they would repent. I knew they would turn to you. I knew that they would sit in ash and pile ash on their heads. Listen, when Jonah went and preached finally after the fish swallowed him and spit him up on the beach, do you know that after the Ninevites repented, after they turned to the one true God, do you know they sat in ash, they scooped it up over them their heads mourning, sorrowful of heart because of their sin. They also took this same ash, they scooped it up over their animals so that the use of their animals would be received from God, so that they would be clean before God as well. It's an amazing picture when you look at the big scope of what's going on. So we see all of these. Jonah was one of those. And after he preached and they repented, what did he do? He just went a ways out in the desert and he pouted, mourned because they repented of their sin. I want to tell you something. When you're preaching Jesus and somebody gets it right, friends, then what we need to do is we need to celebrate the decisions that have been made. We need to be overjoyed because God is in the miracle-working business and he's changing lives every single day. Friends, that should be our heart. That we're excited about the work that God is doing. Amen? That should be our heart. And the next one I want to share with you, Jeremiah is another one. Now, Jeremiah was different. He's even considered to be the weeping prophet. You know that. He wanted to preach and he wanted to tell people about God and the word that God had shared with him to tell the people. And he was brokenhearted over Jerusalem. He wanted to see God's people repent of their sins, and it tore him up on the inside. But I want to tell you about the master preacher whose name is Jesus. And when we see his word, we see through the Scripture, as we find in John chapter 11 when Lazarus was dead in a tomb. The shortest Scripture in English says, he wept. Now in Greek, it's 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. It says, rejoice always in English, but in Greek it's one word. So there are those two. I want to share that with you. That's just kind of a tidbit. You don't have to keep up with that right now. But in English, we look at this one word in John chapter 11 where Jesus is going and he's getting ready to call Lazarus from the grave. Scripture says he wept. Beautiful picture, isn't it? You see Jesus weeping. But then in Luke chapter 23 is another word. He says his body was literally racked with sobs. When he was crying, it was kind of this, he would be having a fit in the flesh, if you can see that. Have you ever seen your children cry? They're laying on their belly and they're just right in the middle maybe of Walmart. And all you're wanting to do is you're wanting to grab them up by the collar and they're just sobbing and their whole body's going into convulsions. But understand that that's the picture of Luke 23 when Jesus says that his whole body sobbed. It's a really beautiful picture when it's shared biblically, isn't it? Now, when our children's doing that, all we want to do is just... Megan, she's got a lasso, and that's all when they get to acting like that at Walmart, we just want to lasso them and drag them around. Come on with me! But when we see it biblically, the big picture, and Jesus was preaching, he said this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you in as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't let me." That's what Jesus said. How often I want to gather you in, but you wouldn't let me. And his heart broke over their sin. And so if I'm up here and I'm just preaching, but my heart isn't breaking over the sins of the people, then all I'm doing is making noise. My speech literally is just empty when it comes to glorifying God with what I'm sharing you. And I want you to know that's not my heart. Because my heart understands the reality of God's word. And literally my heart has to be broken over sin just as your heart is supposed to be broken over sin. And so we see this and we begin to understand that. There's an old story of this college professor. He would go around a century ago. He was a great orator and he would go around and he would just share with people all the poems and all of the great literature that was 15th and 16th century literature. He would go and he would teach all of that and he would stand before crowds of people and he wouldn't have a book in front of him. He would just quote it all from memory and he would just begin speaking and the people would be mesmerized. One night he was at a crowd of people. They had gathered in. It was a large crowd and there was an old-timey preacher who was sitting at the very back of the crowd of people who had gathered. And this college professor, at the end of the night, he says, "I'm now taking requests. Is there anything that you want me to share? Is there anything that you want me to speak of tonight?" And the old preacher stood up and said, "The 23rd Psalms. Can you quote that for us?" This college professor, he looked at him, he said, "Sir, I will quote the 23rd Psalms if after I've completed my time, you'll come up and you'll do the same." Oh, preacher said, "I will." This man, he began very eloquently saying the 23rd Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he did a beautiful job and he got all the way to end and he finished strong. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And when he finished, the crowd erupted in applause. "Oh, he did such a wonderful job. He just moved my heart. He did such a fantastic job with the 23rd Psalms." And the old preacher finally made his way up to the pulpit. And he was very raspy voice from years of preaching without a PA system. And he stood up there and he began to live the 23rd Psalms through his voice. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures." And he went through his sharing the 23rd Psalms with the group of people that had gathered, and no one said a thing. They just sat still as still can be. The professor said, "Do you see the difference? I know the 23rd Psalm. This man knows the author of the 23rd Psalm. Do you see the difference?" You begin to understand the big picture of what's going on, and then all of a sudden the audience goes quiet as it comes from the heart and it's not just words. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then the scripture says, amen. Amen? And that's the difference. We don't get up here and just preach just to be spewing empty words. It has to be heartfelt. And you have to receive that as heartfelt. And the third thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Without love, we're talking about love's way. Without love, spiritual knowledge is wasted. Without love, spiritual knowledge is wasted. And so we hear, we find ourselves looking at verse 2 again, and it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and of understanding mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." And so we've already seen from the standpoint of the pastor sitting up here and preaching with empty words. And now we see that without love, spiritual knowledge is just wasted. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. Understand that. This is what the scripture says. "Though I have the gift of prophecy and of understanding all mysteries and of all knowledge, but if I don't have love, what does it matter?" So I would say there's some pretty intelligent individuals in this room this morning. I know for sure there's a very educated crowd here this morning. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to all of the spiritual knowledge that you would have, all of the years of studying God's Word, all of the years of sitting in Sunday school and hearing and learning and understanding the Bible, all of it together makes no difference at all if you don't have love in your hearts. What about that agape love, that unconditional, unselfish, divine kind of love that God calls the church to have? He says, "Now concerning things offered to idols," in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." I love that. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God." Wow. If anyone loves God, this one is known by God. John Wesley made a statement about this very thing, and he said this, "All learning without Jesus Christ is only splendid ignorance." Isn't that good? Listen to it. All learning without Jesus Christ is only splendid ignorance. There are a lot of people in the world today who are very intellectually sound. They're strong mentally. They've got a mind that's wonderful when it comes to science and the things of the world. But when it comes to the Word of God, they've absolutely no idea because they don't know the one who wrote it. And when you and I begin to hear all of these people waste their breath and say that there is no God, that there is no creation, that it's all about evolution, I just want to smack them in the face with love. I just want to smack them in the face and say, maybe you need a good dose of the Word of God. Amen. Because that's what they need. And because the Scripture is very clear right here, without love, spiritual knowledge is wasted. And so as church, listen, this is what God calls us to. He calls you and I to love. A certain kind of fish that swims around in the waters all across the world. And it's called a puffer fish. You ever heard of these kind of fish? And they're normal size as they're just swimming around. But as soon as they feel danger threatening them, you know what they do? They swell up to 3 or 4 times their size. That's what God's Word is telling you and I we shouldn't do as men and women who have an infinite love for God. When someone walks up to us and rubs us the wrong way, we don't need to puff ourselves up like that fish does. We've got to love them, even though they may not see things the same way you see things. What you and I do is we love. Why do we love? Because that's what God has called us to do. Is there love in your heart today? I sure hope there is. I hope you have a love in your heart today, not just for God. It's important that you have a love for God, but friends, also God's Word says of the greatest commandments, He said this, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the greatest commandment? Love. It's all about love. And so you can have hatred in your heart and you can despise people that are across the aisle from you, and that testifies exactly to where your heart is with God, because God says that your heart needs to be full of love. And my question today is, I've got three more points, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to save this for next week. I think it's important that we hear this out, because there are three more things that are so important for you to begin to understand about love's way. But this morning we wrap it up with, the spiritual knowledge is wasted if our hearts are not in tune with God and in God's Word. He said this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Let me ask you, friends, are we here this morning just rattling and making noise? Is that why we've come? Are we just to rattle and to just spew off a bunch of words? Hey, it's so good to see you this morning. Amen, preacher, preach on. We sing lift our voice to God as we sing praises. If there's not love in your hearts, this is what the Scripture says. You're just making noise. That's annoying, isn't it? So we don't gather here this morning just to make noise if our hearts are not in it. Amen? We gather here this morning with a heart for God. We understand through God's Word that it doesn't matter what comes from a pulpit if a man doesn't have love in his heart. And then we understand that it doesn't matter how much knowledge you possess. It doesn't matter how many books you've read. It doesn't matter what kind of quadratic equations you can work. If you don't have love in your heart for the things that God loves, then it's all wasted. And so we've come this morning and we've gathered ourselves together. We've worshiped God through song. We've sang loudly. It's beautiful this morning as the congregation sing. My ears were turned away, Cameron, but I heard them. It was good for you too, wasn't it? When you guys sing from the heart, there is no better sound to God's ears when it's from the heart. You gathered this morning, I don't care how much you've lifted your voice up to God, if your heart's not in it, then you've just wasted your breath. I can stand up here, or anyone else can stand up here, and if we don't have a love for God and a love for you, then our words are just empty. We're just blabbing. That's not what God desires for us. And maybe you're the most intelligent person in the room. I praise God for that intelligence that you possess. But if you don't have love in your hearts, then that wisdom, that knowledge is all wasted. We gather this morning, we begin to see the big picture of what love looks like. Amen? And the big picture is agape. The big picture is this. Nick, you love that woman sitting beside you unconditionally, don't you, brother? You're also supposed to love that man next to you unconditionally. That's what God desires from us. Wherever you're sitting in this congregation, whoever is behind you, to the left, to the right of you, God's greatest desire is that you have a love for them that is unconditional. Even if you don't know them, you love them. Why, preacher, is love so important? Well, because Scripture tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. That love is forgiving. Amen? And when we're able to see that, we understand that's the reason. That's it. That's what Christianity is about. That's the reason Christ Jesus died on the cross, was because of love. Friends, today, is that how you love God? Is it unselfish? Is it motivated by a desire to please Him? Is that how you respond to those who are around you? It's unselfish and it's motivated out of a desire to please God. From children and obeying their parents, doing it out of love, to parents loving their children because that's what God created you to do. For husband and wives, forgiving one another because they've not seen eye to eye over something that is very minute in meaning. You've got to love one another through that. And from a congregation that sits today, we always focus on what's happened in the past. But today, we forget the past, moving on and focusing on the future. And what does God desire us to do? From this point forward, what is His desire? Is to love one another. And then one last thing I think is so important. You're gathered here this morning. I want to ask for a show of hands. How many of you would say, I love Jesus with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Let me see your hand this morning. You love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. When you leave here, love has to go with you. When you leave here today, love must follow you. Will you pray with me? Father, today in the matchless, most wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for speaking to our hearts. We thank You for moving upon us the way You do. We thank You for allowing us to experience You through song. We thank You for allowing us to experience You through prayer. We thank You for allowing us to experience You as Your Word goes forth. Father, that we would take it, that we would hold on to it, that we would apply it to our hearts, to our lives. That we would see the big picture of unconditional love today. And that we would have that kind of love for one another. Father, we understand this morning, as Your Word tells us in 1 John chapter 4, that You are love. Lord, if we can't understand that You are a God of love, then we can't understand why we are supposed to love as You do. And so today I pray, blessed Lord and Savior, that we understand the big picture of love. And Father, today as we prepare to have our time of invitation, I ask that You would begin to burden hearts in those areas where they need to make love right. Those areas of their lives with their children, with their spouses, with their neighbor. Lord, wherever that is, Lord, that You would help us be obedient, completely obedient to Your Word. Father, help us to love the way You love us. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. As you do, we're going to have a time of invitation. Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, would you come in response to that today? You come.